always a joy to be together with the Lord's people, and we are very happy to be here at Mauer, New Jersey. Thank you all so much for your love and your prayers and being there for us to hold us up in many ways. And God is a good God. He is great and greatly to be praised. Just last Saturday, I was visiting with Abby in Fort Lauderdale, and I stooped down to help her with put on the cover for a toilet. And I got up, and then there was such a severe and intense pain. I couldn't bend, I couldn't turn. I said, "Lord, you've got to help." So I sent just a note to Brother Eddie in Brooksville, and without my knowing, he sent out the chain. We have a prayer session group that meets every Tuesday. And so they prayed, and Saturday, Abby said, "Dad, let me take you to the urgent care." We went there, and they said you had strained the muscle. He thought, of course, it was a kidney stone and other things. But to make a long story short, the Lord answered prayer. And I wanted to be encouraged today that no problem is too big for the Lord. And His timing is always the right timing. And so Sunday morning I got up and I was able to move around and to not only attend a meeting at Pine Street Chapel in Lakewood, but to proclaim His word. God is a good God. Because I was thinking, we love Brother John so much, we've made commitment, and I'll have to send him a note and say we cannot make it. But God is good, and we want to thank the Lord, Brother John, Sister Carol, and for their love to us and all the kindness shown to us. This morning, I told the Lord, "Lord, whatever you want, your Holy Spirit will speak to us today from your word." So the first song we sang was, "Jesus, how much thy name unfolds to every open ear." And then it came to one of the verses, and it says, "Just the mention of thy name, just the mention of thy name is enough to bow our hearts in worship." And later on we sang that His name alone is to be exalted. And then we sang, "We love thy name. We love thy name, Lord Jesus." And then we sang, "Lord, we are gathered unto thy name, losing sight of all besides." And then we sang, "His name is as ointment poured forth. And even as we utter it, fragrance doth rise to the Father, who only is matchless perfection comprised." So I said, "Well, I'm just going to try. We're going to preach together. So we will look up the verses and we'll preach." So I want to speak this morning by God's help. It's not something I prepared even before I came. But I want to speak this morning on no other name for me. No other name for me than the name of Jesus. So we'll begin there and then we will look at some others. So that's found in Acts chapter 4 and verse 12. And we'll just take those few words. Acts chapter 4 and verse 12. Acts chapter 4 and verse 12. "Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." And then verse 13 says, "And when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus." Oh, brothers and sisters, in the context of this, you know, Peter and John, they were going up to the temple, and in chapter 3, they saw a man who was lame on his feet. He was sitting there, and as Peter and John were going up to the temple to pray, they saw this man. They fixed their eyes. They saw a need. It's good even when you come into the meeting to recognize needs on the way. And so they came, and they saw him, and Peter said unto him, look unto us. Silver and gold have we none, but such as we have, give I thee. In the name of Jesus," what a name, "rise up and walk." And the man, let me read it for you. There's a verse, it has touched my heart, if I find it. Chapter 3, If you find before me, okay, yes, verse 7. Verse 8, verse 6, Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received sight. And he leaping up stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. Oh, the power there is in that name because of the person. So I was asking myself, if I look at my brother Steve and I look at the others, and they had no name, what would I say? Suppose you didn't have a name this morning. Just think of it. What would it be like for you? We were all together, but we have no name. How would we identify? How would we respond? But thank God, we have a name, but there is a name this morning. There is a name. And that's the first one I want to look at. The supremacy of that name. Just the mention of that name is enough to bow our hearts in worship. That's the supremacy of the name of Jesus because of the supremacy of the person of Jesus Christ. And what he wants today, you know, the Christmas season, but I want you to know, brothers and sisters, it is not the presence, P-R-E-S-E-N-T-S, it's not the presence of Christmas, but it's the presence of Christ that brings joy to our heart this morning. And so here they were going up and they saw this man and he said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. Not in the name of Peter, not in the name of John, not in the name of the temple, but in the name of Jesus. Rise up and walk. There is power in the name of Jesus because of the person who bears that name. He is above all others. The supremacy of that person. And so, thank God, in the context, you know, sometimes we preach the gospel and sometimes we reach out to others, but this verse has challenged me personally because it is easy to preach, well, not easy, but it's easier to preach and to minister. But do I reach down to lift someone up? It took him, he not only told him to rise up and walk, but he met him where he was in his need and took him by the hand and lifted him up. And many people are hurting today. Many people are discouraged. They're down, personally, emotionally. And sometimes it's nice to share the word, but sometimes they need a helping hand to lift them up. And we need to reach out, brothers and sisters, to those who are hurting. And when Peter lifted him up, hallelujah, you got to excuse me. I get excited, amen? So you don't worry about my hallelujahs. But it's just sweet to me. The man not only stood up, that would have been great, but he began to walk and he began to leap and he began to praise God. And when now in chapter 4, when they saw this man, you know, and they recognized the man because he was now standing with them in chapter 4 and verse 13, I believe. Yes, we read that. So when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, that they were unlearned and ignorant, they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. And behold, the man which was healed, standing with them, they could say nothing against it. There is not only the power in the name of Jesus, but there was proof of a life being changed. And you know, this is why we preach Jesus Christ. We don't preach about another name. There is, Peter saying, there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we can be saved. The only salvation is found in Jesus Christ. And brothers and sisters, what a joy. So when they saw the boldness, you know, as Christians, when we know that name and the supremacy of the person and the supremacy of that name, as young people, we don't have to give in to peer pressure. We don't have to succumb to the peer pressures at college or at school or everywhere, not being ashamed of the name of Jesus. You know how you don't give in to peer pressure? You remember the three P's in Daniel? I give them to you quickly. You know them very well. But you know, Daniel, they changed his name, you remember? They changed his location. They brought him captive. They changed his identification, gave him another name. But Daniel purposely course in his heart. They couldn't change his communion with Jesus Christ. His faith was steadfast. And secondly, Daniel was a man of prayer. If you want to overcome peer pressure, you must have a purpose in your heart that you're going to live for Christ and rely on his power. Then there is prayer. And then the third one was priority for Daniel. Regardless, they said, don't pray, he prayed. Even when they were going to put him into den of lions, he knew his God is able to deliver. And his priority was for him. You can overcome peer pressure if you're a young person here today by allowing yourself to purpose in your heart, regardless of the location, whether at school, whether they're trying to change my identity, whether they're trying to tell me other things, you can fix your communion with Christ and be so committed that nothing can change you. And then, so this man, they took note that being, and when we leave here, we want others to know we've been with Jesus. You know, I was in England, and there was a big store called Healers. I still remember that. It was on Broad Street. I was single then, and we used to go to the store sometimes to buy things, you know. But whenever you go into that store, they were very wise businessmen. They had beautiful girls at all the doors. And they had a perfume. They will just spray it over your head as soon as you get into that store. I still remember that many years ago. They'll spray that perfume. And you will smell so sweet. You can leave there and go to the fish market, and they will know that you have been to Healers' store. Oh, brothers and sisters, I tell you, when you've come to Jesus Christ, not only is the supremacy of that name, but there's the sweetness of that name. Oh, the Song of Solomon. I think it's Song of Solomon. Song of Solomon. Chapter, and we quote that to Brother John gave out that song, 454. Song of Solomon. Okay, verse 3. Just for brevity of time. Because of the savor of thy good ointments, thy name is as ointment poured forth. Therefore do the virgin love thee. You know, it's amazing in Ecclesiastes, just the one before, Song of Solomon, he was speaking of everything under the sun. And he made a conclusion. He said, when I evaluate everything under the sun, S-U-N, he said, it is vanity and vexation of spirit. It is empty. Everything on. But when he comes to Song of Songs, he has a song of songs because the song of the greatest lover. And it takes us not only to the S-U-N, but takes us up into the sky, way beyond to the S-O-N. Mm-hmm. And he concluded, his name is as ointment poured forth. You know, ointment, like I said at Healers, it'll give off a sweet fragrance. You know, this is why you come to a meeting like this. I'm so glad to see some smiling faces. I'm so glad to look around and see that the joy of the Lord is there. Not because everything is going well, not because we have everything, but we have one who makes the difference. And so ointment, it gives off a sweet fragrance. When Mary, you remember Mary in John chapter 12, when she poured out the ointment on Jesus? You know, she could have just given him the bottle as a gift that she had for the burial, but she broke the alabaster box. Remember that? And he poured it on Jesus, and she stooped down, and she anointed him with that ointment. And he said the whole house was filled with the odor of the ointment. When Jesus is lifted up, it will fill this place with his sweetness. The sweetness of Jesus. But everywhere Mary went, she was smelling like Jesus. Amen? That's the sweetness of this name. Ointment not only gives a fragrance, but ointment heals. Brothers and sisters, you may be in this auditorium and you have wounds deep down that are painful. You may have had the experience of a loss of a loved one. You might have a diagnosis that is difficult for you to cope with. You might feel that family is divided. You might be going through difficulties. But I want you to know, no wound is too deep for the Lord to heal. His name is as ointment poured forth. It not only gives the fragrance, but it gives healing. So we have the supremacy of the name because of the person. We have the sweetness of the name. Now we have in Isaiah, and our brother quoted downstairs, Isaiah chapter 6, Isaiah chapter 6. Is it 6 we read his name in? 9. Thank you, brother. Isaiah 9. Thank you. And 6, yes. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. What a wonderful thing, brothers and sisters, that a child is born, a son is given. And the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. This is the supplier of the name of the person. He is so awesome, so great. So in the context of this, there were difficulties in the land. You know, this is prophetically pointing out concerning the Lord Jesus who would come. And so he said here, unto us a child is born. In the midst of difficulty and despair in the nation, God has provided. He has supplied one. And so he said, a child is born. So the Lord Jesus, he was born. And we're going to see that in Matthew, where we quoted already that a child is born. But as the Son, he's given as a gift, you know. He is the eternal Son. He cannot be born, but as the child, the humanity, he has been identified with us. Child is born. So let me go through this quickly. I wanted to know what a wonderful Savior we have. What a wonderful person he is. He said he's a wonderful counselor. And you can divide it and use wonderful, and you can add it together. Right? Because Jesus is wonderful. Amen? He is wonderful, brothers. He performs wonders. He hangs the earth on nothing. He gathered the winds in his fists. He spread the heavens out like a curtain. He rides upon the storm. There is none like him. He is the creator, not a creature. He is the creator of all things. By him, John 1, he said, by him all things were made, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of man. And the light shined in the darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. This is a dark world, but thank God, there is one that God has supplied for us. And brothers and sisters, he's greater. So his name is, if you want to put it together, is Wonderful. And it's nice when you separate them, you know, when you say Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. So you get 5, you know, and it reminds us of David, of King David. He took 5 stones, amen? And he defeated Goliath, and he had the other 4 to defeat all the others. Hallelujah, Jesus Christ. He had victory over every defeat in enemy and circumstances. 5 names. But no, as Wonderful Counselor, he is unerring in all his decisions. He makes the right diagnosis. He offers the right treatment. He knows your name. He knows your address. He knows your needs today. What a person for us. He is unerring in all his decisions. Never have to say, I'm sorry. Never have to say, I made a mistake. No one has to be his counselor. Hallelujah. So he said, he's a wonderful counselor, unerring in all his decisions. He's the mighty God. He is unquestionable in his deity. Jesus Christ is very God and very man. Oh, as man, he would sleep on a ship. But as Son of God in deity, he would speak to the wind and the waves, and they'll be calm. Oh, this one, he is indeed the supreme one. So he is unquestionable in his deity. He's very God and very man. Then he's Father of eternity, meaning he's unending in his days. Brothers and sisters, our time on earth will come to an end. One of these days I'll be preaching the last message. I'll be visiting for the last time. But thank God we have one who is unchangeable. And when I say last time, I mean on this scene. I'm going to be forever with him. Amen. But I want you to know he is unchanging in his days. Every wrong does are changing. It doesn't matter who it might be. Might be with reverence the Pope. Might be the greatest politician. He might be the greatest leader. But there are changes in everyone. But this one, our God changes not. He is unchangeable. In his days, he's the same, says Hebrews 13:5, speaking of the Lord, he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. What a person for us. We can rest in him. And then he says here, he's the Prince of Peace, meaning that he's unrivaled in his domain. Oh, brothers and sisters, here is one. He is the Prince of Peace. So this is why, you know, you'll be hearing a lot of, you know, goodwill to men, peace upon earth. Before you come to that, you always look at the fact, before there's peace on earth, it says glory to God. When they begin to give glory to God, there will be peace on earth. But that will be in the coming day when the Lord himself supremely reigns. So what a joy for us. So this one today who God has supplied for us, he is the one who is unerring in his decision, a wonderful counselor. He is unquestionable in his deity. He's the mighty God. He's unending in his days. He's Father of eternity. And he's unrivaled in his domain. What a person for us. So now, our time is up almost. So let me read in Revelation. The Holy Spirit spoke to us this morning, by the way, you know. Our brother Steve, he read in Luke, what's it?
19.
Luke 19 and verse 3. We would see Jesus. He was talking to Zacchaeus and wanted to see Jesus. And then in John chapter 12, with those who said, you know, so we would see Jesus. And then he read in Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 9. Yes, thank you. 2 and verse 9. But we see Jesus. So there was the plea and there was the privilege. We see Jesus, who has made a little Lord and the angel, for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor. Now let me just close in Revelation chapter, and it was quoted already, but I'm just do one and then I'll finish. Revelation chapter 1 and verse 17, and this is John. Revelation chapter 1 verse 17 and 18, he says, John, and you got to understand, John in chapter 13, when John saw Jesus in chapter 13, remember he leaned on his breast. You remember? Whenever you have a question that you don't know, you know, all of them, they were asking, who's the one going to betray me? They say, ask John. You know why they asked John? He was leaning on the breast. You can feel the vibration of the heart. But now he saw not only the Lord Jesus going to the cross for him, but he saw him as the resurrected, glorified Lord here in Revelation. And he says, and when I saw him, I fell at his feet, not leaning on his breast. Oh, that is nice. That is to be up here. But to lean on the feet is to exclude self and all of Christ to be seen. Oh, that you and I might put ourselves low down. And so we have brothers and sisters who said, when I saw him, I fell at his feet. And he laid his right hand upon me, and he said, fear not, I am the first and the last. This is the touch. The next time, Brother John might preach on that. But you know, in Revelation, you have the pardon. He says, unto him who loved us and washed us from our sins. That's the pardon that is given to John. But now when he touched him, that's the power that is enfolded upon him. And when he spoke to him, he gave him peace in the midst of the storm. Though he was alone on the Isle of Patmos, there is none like Jesus. May the Lord help us that you and I might say today, none other name for me but Jesus. Amen. Amen. Amen.